Welcome. I hope everyone had a wonderful Yontif. It's been a while since we worked on the Parshiyos of Sefer Vayikra. And to appreciate this week's Parsha, Achremos Kedoshim, beginning with Achremos, we don't want to lose the forest and the trees. We want a sense of the broader conceptual pattern. That when Parshiyos Achremos appears, it's not just jolting us. Where is that from? But no. We have our finger on the pulse. We feel the pulsations of Sefer Vayikra, and we hear their rhythm, and thereby appreciate conceptually why Achremos Kedoshim appears here. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take a step back and trace what has been going on at Sefer Vayikra from a big picture panoramic perspective, and we'll see how Parshas Achremos fits right in, and what it impresses upon us, and how it becomes meaningful. Vayikra, of course, introduces the Karbanos, and Parshas Vayikra introduced all the broad Karbanos categories, Oila, Chatas, Asham, Shlamim, and so forth. The beginning of Parshas Tzav then, if you recall, revisited all of those Karbanos units and specified details. Oh, the Oila, have it burned the whole night. The Shlamim, oh, you know how the parts are divvied up for eating, and so forth. And there's actually a very clear word pattern at the beginning of Parshas Tzav to bring out how Parshas Tzav is specifying and providing details for all of the Karbanos general categories of Vayikra. Because Parshas Tzav keeps speaking about Zois Tairas Ha'Oila, and it says all the details about the other. And it says Zois Tairas Ha'Asham, and it provides the details of the other. And Zois Tairas Ha'Shlamim. You have that word Taira. Taira means teachings, Taira, guidance, practical details. We use the term Taira for Psak Halacha, Maira Taira. It's the details of practicalities, the nitty-gritties, right? So here we have general Karbanos categories in Parshas Vayikra, the nitty-gritties reflected by the elegant literary device of the Zois Tairases throughout the beginning of Tzav. And then Tzav, the end of Tzav and the beginning of Shmini deals with the seven, ultimately 8 days of the Elul, and specific Karbanos Menorah Mishnah. So on a level of Pshat, by Yikra through the beginning of Shmini is Karbanos, the general categories, the Zeis Tairas specified details, and then the specific Karbanos of the inauguration days. That's category one of Sefer Vayikra. I posit on a level of Pshat, category two is the end of Shmini, which introduces the behemoth tmeos, behemoth tahoros, and really the whole notion of tomatata, ritual purity and impurity, followed by Parashas Tazaria, which introduces tumah and tira of tzaras, followed by Mitzayra, which provides more hilchos tumah and tira of tzaras, along with various bodily omissions with their tumah and tira characteristics, in the case of a male carrion zav, and in the case of a female midan zava. Right, does everyone see very clearly just the rewarding sense of cohesion, right? At the end of Shmini, Tazria and Mitzayra are clearly a unit of the laws of Tumah Taira. If you look at it from the Mishnah, from a Teresh Baal Peh perspective, Seder Kodshim is a commentary to Parshas Vayikra Tzav, the beginning of Shmini, and Seder Tairas is the Teresh Baal Peh commentary of the end of Shmini, Tazria, Mitzayra. Very clear, these are the two parts. I, by the way, believe that on a level of Pshat, Parsha Shmini is not a unit. Parsha Shmini, the beginning of Parsha Shmini, is really the end of Tzav, right, dealing with Yomi Lod. And the beginning of the end of Shmini is the beginning of the Tumah Taira discussion, which will continue in Tazria and Mitzayra, right? For conceptual reasons we studied in the past, deep meaningful reasons, Klal Yisrael cobbled it together as a Parsha Shmini. Perhaps we'll revisit that tonight. But I want you to understand on the level of Pshat, Seder Kodshim, Seder Tairas, as it breaks down, and the midpoint, right, the fault line runs in the middle of Parashat Shmini, and it's very understandable that the laws of Karbanos on one hand and the laws of Tumah Taira on the other hand juxtapose and abut each other in the beginning of Seder Vayikra. Because, of course, the halachos of Tumah Taira govern how we handle Karbanos. a tummy may not eat kachem. A tummy may not enter the mikdash. So when you think about it, this second unit of Ayikra, which follows the first Tumat Taira, is really a segment of rules and regulations. It's a fascinating concept we've discussed in the past, when we always discussed the general tension in life between passion, vision, and nitty-gritty details. The excitement behind the project, the creative juices in our brains, and then the nitty-gritty to make it happen. It's all the petty details and rules. I'm going to found a company, right? You're a musician, and you're all gung-ho in your music company. And then nitty-gritty details like time management, paying your bills, and so on, right? Chesed Kulur, as we've been thinking about during these days of Sfira. That's really the beginning of Vayikra, which is Karbanos, literally Karav, coming close. Right? You might say Ruchniyistik, romance, intimacy, coming close to Hashem, along with all of those when you may come close, and separations and respect for the other. No, not a, it's a very compelling issue in relationship as well. Intimacy, along with space and respect, a very compelling subject. And my thesis that there are these two units in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and unit two runs from the end of Parsha Shmini, the laws of pure and impure animals, through the end of Mitzrayim, right? The laws of really feminine discharge, Mida and Zava, is underscored by a very nice pattern. Midrash. Because if you look at the end of this Tumat Taara unit that we have dissected, at the end of Parashat Mitzrayim, when, as I said, it's talking about the final laws of Tumat Taara, the feminine discharge, the pasuk says, in the last of the parasha, third to last pasuk, v'hizartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumasa. Have B'nai Yisrael separate from their Tumma, and from here Chazal derive, really take Tumma Taira seriously, especially in this context of Midah Zava, and from here the laws of Vestas are derived, right? The further rabbinic laws of separation during the woman's period. Well, if you look back at the end of Shemini, in the halakas of Behemoth, Tmei, Behemoth, Tahorah, right? The Gemara in Shavuos, that Pinchas Medeis, interprets the final pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Lahavil bein hatamei ubein hatapa, which on a level of pshat is talking about pure and impure animals, and the pasuk continues ubein achaya ve'achol ubein achal shalom seichal. The Gemara interprets that pasuk as a reference to a husband and a wife separating during the days of Est. Lahavil bein hatamei ubein hatar. This pasuk at the end of Shmini, which is talking about pure and impure animals on a level of pshat, is seen as also a reference that a couple needs to separate during the days of Vestas. Right, so here we have, right, a seemingly midrashic oddity, right? Chazal are weaving in Vestas in a specific separation during a woman's period, both in its rightful place at the end of the Sora, when it's talking about a woman's discharge, and in the end of Shmini, when it's talking about famous tomatoes, famous tourists, but the answer is, right, this weaving together of two different narratives, behemoth tomatoes, behemoth Torah on one hand, and a woman's feminine discharge on the other, really reflects our bookend theory, that when you have a unit in Torah, the bookends are symmetrical. So because the second unit of Sefer Vayikra, Tumat Taara, begins with behemoth tomatoes, behemoth Torah, and ends with a woman's feminine discharge, I believe that is the basis for this rabbinic expansion, for this midrashic expansion, to see a similar Vestas phenomenon in both, if you want to add. So, Maisa b'machshava tchila, yeah? The end game plan is always somehow referenced in the beginning. So if it's one unit of Tumat Taara, it ends with the laws of Taara, Mishpacha, and Vestas. Somehow the laws of Taara, Mishpacha, and Vestas are going to appear in the beginning, in the Behemoth, maybe in the Torah narrative. I don't want to get too technical. At this point, you got to reassure and clue to our thesis. And the bottom line is, I really want to let the idea settle in everyone's mind. It might sound very simple, what I just did, right? This is, I think, the pshat breakup of early Sefer Vayikra, Kutchim, followed by Tyrus, one is regulating the other, and the notion that we need discipline and respect that's showing space, along with intimacy and the drive to come close. And therefore, Kutchim and Tyrus are really two peas in a pod. Abba Yira, Chesed Glura. And without making this year too technical, you will see, your sensitive ear will really hear, rhythmic pieces of verbiage in these two respective units that echo each other. Remember we traced in Parsha Sav how the Kutchim part has this Zos Toras rhythm, Zos Toras, always Zos Toras, right? Discuss details and use the word Torah again and again, you will see the same thing on one other place in Torah, and that is in the end of Parsha Shmini, Tumitzorah, Tumatayra, again and again it says, right? Zos Toras Habahema, Zos Toras Negatzaras, Zos Toras Hazav, Vashatetzim Menoshech Basara, Zos Toras Hanasek, right? The only other place in Torah, almost, in Chumash, where it uses repeatedly that expression, Zos Toras, specificities of Torah, is in this Taharas unit that we have cobbled out of these parashiyos. So I believe that's a rhythmic echo, the Kutchim and Tyrus part, the Kutchim and the Tyrus. The Kutchim has its Zos Toras, the Tyrus has its Zos Toras. If you read a Chumash carefully, you'll see that pattern, but I don't want to make it too technical. I think we can rest assured these are the two units of Ayikra. Really the two units as we've discussed in the past of every relationship. The drive for Kirva, intimacy closeness, along with its necessary rules and regulation, distance, space, respect. Now, we can begin to appreciate the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, which follows this next parasha, with the protocols of Yom Kippur, the Avodas Yom Kippur, and what it's doing here. Because it seems to me that this narrative about Yom Kippur integrates both together, Karbanos and Tahara. Of course, it's all a narrative about Karbanos, and the very specific Karbanos of Yom Kippur, which we all know so well. The two Seirim, the Lashon Belazal Zohar, right? We know this Avodah better than any other part, right? We reenact it in detail every day. But along with Karbanos, it has a lot of Taharas in it. The Torah says very clearly in the Sefer Parshas Achrimos that what is the function of the Avodas Yom Kippur? Right? It says, Aaron the Kohen Gadol brings the blood forward, both the blood of the par and the blood of the sar, v'chibur ha'kodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael. He purifies the tumah. Because I don't interpret to me. You know the fundamental function of the Karbanos of Yom Kippur? In case there was tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, ritual impurity, which will undermine the effectiveness of the Beis HaMikdash to be a place of tahara the whole year, while on Yom Kippur, right, tahara is brought, right? So you see, you have the Karbanos Taharas linkage, right, really informs the essence of the Avodas Yom Kippur. That's itself a precious clue of integration between Kutchim and Taharas, which probably you're surmising that I believe is more than a pleasing technical pattern, but it's really the notion that on Yom Kippur, we learn the magic of intimacy along with respect, closeness along with giving space and distance, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I believe that Karbanos Taharas duo not only informs the ritual function of the Karbanos Kutchim along with Taharas, but also the meaning of the day. It's a yom that's kadosh, and yet arguably the holiest day of the year. Svarim and Kippur have called yom hakadosh, right? And at the same time, the Torah says the greater theme of Yom Kippur is what? L'tahar eschem, right? Lifnei Hashem tetar, becoming pure. Yom Kippur, I believe, is driving home the notion of this duo, which the early Sefer HaMikdash consists in its two units, carbonous and drawn close, or one with the notion to be pure. That closeness and the passion for closeness may never be unfettered and without a sense of judgment and so on. There's a concept of tama when things have been done wrongly, right? And a certain atmosphere and space has to be reintroduced. It's the day we're the closest to Hashem. The Kohen Gadol on behalf of Kol Yisrael goes lefnei v'lefnei. Right? You do not get any closer than that. Certainly when we appreciate that the Kodesh Kadashim is called by the Pasuk in Avi the Cheir Hamitos, so the Bedouin Hashem calls it the most intimate place. So we only enter in Yom Kippur, Yom Kohen Gadol on behalf of Kol Yisrael, Yom Chasanaso. But yet, it's not entering from a position of anything goes, right? And you'll excuse me, free love, in which love loses all of its meaning. And because she been quite the contrary, the entirety of the Avodas Yom Kippur is highlighting that this is special and unique, right? Val yavo b'choleis al ha-kodesh. It highlights it shouldn't happen too often. Only Yom Kippur, which Rashi says, means it shouldn't become habitually. And moreover, the very notion that it's a day that we're purifying of errors. It's a day when we're saying we don't accept everything. There are parts of our behavior that we are shedding, and we are saying Hashem does not welcome, right, those parts of behavior here, right? It's a day when we engage in Enoch, when we say in order to be close to Hashem, there are very strict rules and regulations. Right? And we have to constrict ourselves from basic human functions. So I'm going to argue that Yom Kippur is bringing up this whole thing of Sefer Vayikra. That's why Achrayimos appears at this stage. Right? And driving home this very simple but very basic human truth. The endeavor is karbanos, that's certainly the vision, both in the safer and in life. Closeness, intimacy is the goal. Respect and discipline is the means. And that's what Yom Kippur is underscoring. And I'm going to argue on a level of a hope. When we bring up the concept of restrictions and discipline, which is not a very attractive concept, I don't believe anybody is excited about discipline. I refuse to believe it. I just tussled. I was presenting something that a woman at the shir said, do I subscribe to the Latin expression, right? Disciple comes from the word discipline. I said, that is, it's delicious. It's a delicious expression because it brings out a Latin and thoroughly un-Jewish concept. What, isn't that beautiful? I said, hold on. Maybe I was darshening up the Latin a little too much. I said, hold on. If disciples mean Russian discipline, that means the essence of the relationship is discipline. Now, we believe discipline is critical, but it's a tool. I am not here to discipline my students. I'm here to give. My students are my children. I'm here to give my children. I'm here to give my Talmidim, right? As the Rambam says, the whole chiyuv to teach Talmidim is an expansion of the chiyuv to teach one's children, because Chazal darshan v'nachei l'talmidim. When we relate to Talmidim as children, we're here to nurture. The discipline is a critical tool. Discipline's not defining its essence, but it's a critical tool. So I believe this is the totality of Yadus in our relationship to Hashem. When discipline becomes the focus, we feel laden, we feel burdensome, it doesn't work. However, when we are deeply passionate about the goal and the kirbas Hashem, the observance of the halacha and all of its minutia becomes remarkably doable. And even in the realm of chol, someone who is motivated by a project that speaks to them is able to engage in remarkable discipline to achieve it. In anything, racing, dieting, sports, profession and what it takes, right? You're able to do it when you are in love with the vision. If we are in love with Kirvas Hashem and the meaning and the purpose which the mitzvah is bringing, the discipline, the taharas which it takes to bring the karbanos, it will come together masterfully. I'm believing that the nexus between karbanos and taharas brought together in the beginning of this week's parasha Achrayim is not only true of the avodas mikdash per se, but in all of the kedusha avoda called yahadus, which now takes us to the end of Parshas Achrayos and the way it ushers in Parshas Kedusha. Because the end of Parshas Achrayos is no longer dealing with Yom Kippur and ritual karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. The end of Parshas Achrayos is, of course, the parasha of the Arayos, right? Nothing directly to do with Mikdash and karbanos, right? The end of Achrayos, and likewise Parshas Kedusha, right? Which is a second pea in the pod along with Parashas Kedoshim. It's clear that the end of Achrayos and Parashas Kedoshim are two peas in a pod, because how does Parashas Kedoshim end? Parashas Kedoshim ends by repeating all of the arayos of the end of Achrayos, but adding consequences to that. Right? It's clear that all of Parashas Kedoshim, all of the many mitzvahs of Kedoshim, is really building up to the onshin of arayos at the end, because that's really circling around the theme of arayos which started in Achrayos. So I'm going to argue that the end of Parshas Achrayos and Kedoshim, it's really one big unit, most centrally about the Arayos, right? So seemingly we've deviated from focus in the Beis HaMikdash and introduced a broader one called Arayos and related mitzvahs, right? By the way, just have all our pieces on the table. What I'm noting, that all of Parshas Kedoshim is really continuing the Parshas Achrayos. The end of Parshas Achrayos being of the Arayos. This is the key to understanding Rashi's controversial statement. When Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim T, it means Pushim min ha'arayos. Kedoshim means separate from the Arayos. And the Ramban rejects that and does not believe Rashi's Midrashim, has other Yosos in Midrashim, right? The notion that the opening salvo of Parshas Kedoshim is dealing with Arayos, Rashi's Mahalach and Rashi's Midrashim, is borne out from a big picture perspective of the end of Achrayos. The end of Achrayos introduced the Arayos. The end of Kedoshim is revisiting those very same Arayos, so it stands to reason the whole Kedoshim is really a build-up to the Arayos. All the other mitzvahs that are in our preludes, and therefore the opening salvo of Kedoshim, Tzilham, and Kedoshim, you see how Rashi doesn't do the Berfach thing. It's not judged, not just a nice judgment of Rashi and his Midrash, but it comes from an integrated view of all the Torah, right? Suffice it to say, right? On one hand, we have a rewarding pattern. The end of Achrayos through Kedoshim is an Arayos stick of focus, but the question is, what in the world is it doing here, right? In Sefer Vayikra, right, which were laws of Karbanos in the Tumah Torah which governed them, the answer is very clear in the text. When one is mindful to the point we make that the Karbanos, the notion of kirva and closeness, has been introduced with closeness through discipline, kirva through the laws of Tumah Torah. Because Parshas Arayos, which is obviously touching on the whole issue of intimate connection and intimacy itself, and restriction therein, echoes of this. And Chumash makes this point very clear. The expression Tumah appears again and again and again in the parasha of the Arayos, of the Arayos. Not only are particular Arayos referred to as Vialeshas Amisechel, Titeh, Shechal, Tuchal, Zahra, Tamal, right, specific adulterous or incestuous relationships are called Tumah. But the closing verses of Parashas Arayos and Arayos Kedushim again and again talk about Tumah, right? 7-8 times, right? Al Tatamu B'chaleilat, Him Chaleilat Nitmu Adoyim, Batit Maha Aretz, right? Kias Vatit Maha Aratz, Batama, Batama Chamaisa, right? That term Tumah and that concept of Tumah, which Sefer Vayikra has until now in a ritualistic sense highlighted. You want Kirvas Hashem, you want intimacy with Hashem, Well, love and closeness does not come without respect and discipline to the other. Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your ears hear it's explicit in the text. And you want intimate connection with another human being? That same Tuma Tahara, folks, the echo in context is unmistakable, right? Reading the Chumash with open ears, right? Sensitive ears, right? Immediately following Tuma Tahara in the Kirva context of Karbanis, you have references to Tuma in the context of, right? In the context of another primal form of Kirva, right? And it's called expanding the concept and the notion of respect along with discipline. This is a big issue, by the way. And furthermore, we appreciate how, really, really how pleasing it is, how snugly parallel it is, just like regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have carbon kachim on one side, along with a tahara regulation on the other, in union kirva as well, right? If tuma tahara is respected, what do you achieve? Kiddusha. Because parashas kiddusha, ha'kushim and harayas, introduces itself as kiddusha. Right? But here we have, in human relationship, a very interesting nexus. Right? Step one is, by observing these laws, not engaging in princess and incestuous relationships and adultery, Parsha Sacharimus is telling us, don't do acts of tuma. Right? Tuma. Right? And tuma, as we're saying, means very, very, very literally means. Tuma means to sever a relationship. I'm not showing respect. The word tuma itself, the shortage of the word tuma is tintum, which means stoppage, to close a portal of potential connection. Right, in the past we've explained this is why Seder Taharis is called in the Gemara Das, by a Musa Galachos and Shul Chacham Das, the six expressions. Das is Seder Taharis, because Das is about, the word Das means, by Eda, which means intimacy, it's establishing a portal of a connection we shall respect. We've developed this in the past, right? So first, Parshas Achramos is telling us, in the human domain, if you want meaningful relationship, you first need the tahara, al tatama b'chalei, or that repetitive expression, right? Expanding the tahara in the ritualistic sense of the Beis HaMikdash. Now you might say the bias with Hashem, now it's the bias of Ishmisha, right? Al tatama b'chalei. And then Parshas Kedoshim is saying, and if these walls are done fully, done compatibly, it is not simply, walls are not simply regulations of tahara. Kedoshim to you, how you prove it, how it lies. Right? There's a very interesting, right, taking those words, Rashi and Shem Chazal, Kedoshim to you, hearing them deeply. The implication is, while there was a first step in the Parshas Arayis and Achrayim's Kedoshim, simply don't engage in the prohibited acts, which would be a tuma. It would be a tuma to engage with an Eishes Ish or a Chos or something. Right, so it's a tahara not to engage in the act. But when, beyond avoiding acts, when morality becomes a mode of behavior, perushim in harayis, as Rashi calls it, which connotes more than you are not doing the acts, but that thereby you have conditioned, right, an approach to life, a restrained moral purposes, perushim in harayis. Purushim in our eyes brings Kedusha, and this Purushim, right, that immorality is not simply something we don't do, but it's an absolute no-no of basic mode of behavior, I'm going to suggest is why Parshas Kedoshim ends with not simply prohibiting the eyes, but the notion that there's a chimisa, chikaris, right, that we look at immorality not as simply something we don't do, but as something anathema. It's defining a lifestyle. Like Kedusha is really making a lifestyle, right? So it's not simply a tahara, an innocence, which isn't undermined in the Jewish code of relation, in the Jewish relational code. But hence, it's a Kedusha which appears, and and the epitome of that kedusha will be the kirva of man and woman, once with this total respect, and we understand now, even added depth, why the betrothal process is called kedusha in the lashon kedusha, and how delicious it is when the Gemara and kedushin dot beis and the beis tells us kedusha to aser lakua alma kahekdash. When he says you are off limits to everyone else, the Gemara compares this to when we're makdish a karban, right? And it's a designation, it's a prishah, it's that same word prushim and arash, the same word, right? It's a sanctification through designation, right? Now we understand the power of that correlation, comparing the control of the process to the being makdish to the Beis HaMikdash. I believe that this expression is actually derived from the entire rhythm and sequence of parashas. The fact that Seder Kachem, like the early Vayikra with its Tumah Tahara, is then followed by the Tumah Tahara Kedoshim Tiyu in a marital sense, like the nexus between being makdish lemikdash and being makdish anisha, right, actually now carries over directly from the Seder HaParish. That to me was a very, very exciting discovery. Really, and impresses upon us that the notion of discipline, and everything we said, that when one has an avodah of kiyakrim, when there's a passion for that which is beautiful, right? Discipline is viable, right? Extends beyond the Beis HaMikdash. You know, maybe when we have a Beis HaMikdash, right, in front of us, the discipline is very, very easy. When the Kedusha endeavor is very, very apparent. There's a Beis HaMikdash with a Shechina. The Shechina is right there, palpable. Right? Hayom Hashem Nira Aleicha. Right? You see the beloved Rav Moshe. Right? It's close. It's, right? Your passion is close. It's not elusive. It's not distant. Then maybe it's very easy to show this. Right? Just like Al Tarach Moshe. You know, when he's done studies about children's ability to show discipline in pursuing delayed gratification, right? Obviously, the younger the child, the harder it is to engage in non-discipline for future gratification, right? And the more distant and beyond that outcome is, the harder it becomes. Yeah, right? Oh, you know, you'll receive an award, right? You'll receive, right? How many people in theory like to be doctors, but the notion of all those years of medical school and then resident, okay, right? They're rewarding, right? And then even when you become a resident, right? The doctors on top of you, we all know from the OR the way they treat the residents, right? You have to go through all of that, and then at the end, right? You're an MD, right? Right? That thing, right? It's not for the faint of heart, right? It's nice to be a doctor. Studying, the effort, the financing of the project, forget it, right? All the discipline is very hard when the gratification is very, very distant. The passion has to be all the greater when it's more distant gratification. So I'm going to argue, right, the more the Adam Kiyakrav is accessible in Sefer Vayikra, where they had a Mishkan, Hashem appeared in that Mishkan, certainly in Parsha Shmini, right? The Tumah Taharah which follows is very, very smooth. You know, perhaps in the human dimension, when the desire, meaningful relationship, is not always so easy, perhaps restraint becomes harder, right? It's of course a musr. It's of course a musr to a couple, right? In a very direct sense, right? We all know that the great avodah of showing restraint in the audience is all the harder when there's not satisfaction in the desired relationship, obviously. Right? The more we work on finding that satisfaction and that meaning, the more we get there, right? But the same basic dynamic that I'm going to argue beyond relationship and all of our avodah Hashem and all of our avodah Hashem. The more I'm finding meaning in my avodah Hashem, the more davening is a meaningful process, the more difficult it takes to come to davening, to daven, right? The more, less burdensome, less alone just comes together. Oftentimes in Avodas Hashem, when it's not a mikdash with overt shape, when it's just a concept, when Kedusha is outside of just a concept, very hard to discipline. And this is perhaps why, when we have this turn of the text here, when the Kedushin Tahara's duo has expanded beyond the Beis HaMikdash and its regulations to showing Kedusha and other domains in life, Havei Prushim and Harayos, and so on, right? The Torah kind of breaks apart. It breaks down into two steps. First parsha, Achramos, doesn't talk about Kedusha yet. First it says, Al Tatam, don't violate. But first there's a discipline. Don't violate. Right? And then, right? Then comes the lifestyle, and then you have the benefit of Kedusha. Right? In the beginning, it's a very difficult avodah. Showing restraint is very, very difficult. Right? Very, very difficult, right? If you show restraint, so it's like this not only restraint of a karatis, in many areas of discipline, in Avodas Hashem, right? First, it can be burdensome. You don't feel dog and kiyakar, you don't, right? But you don't have an overt base on this here. The meaning in your yeshkeh, the meaning in your tefillin, family life is not necessarily apparent. The realities of life, the realities of relationship, the realities of people, right? It's first a discipline, it's first an al tatamu, but then, it brings a Kedusha, I would suggest, and I want to bring this out from the textual pattern, this notion of the two steps. Listen to this, and I want to bring together our entire share in these final few minutes. Right? If you go back to the end of Parsha Shmini, right? Behemoth Tmei, Behemoth Tahor, when the Torah introduced the whole notion of Tomatar, right? This Karbanos thing, this coming close to Hashem, it has regulatory laws, it has Tomatahar, right? So it fuses together. Right? Along with the outer town right here on the Parsha Shmini, right? Along with all the statements of Bein HaTamei, Bein HaTahar, it says, V'hizkadesh dem Yisa Kedosh, it says here in the end of Parsha Shmini. Toma Tahara and Kedusha are fused when it came to the Toma Tahara regulated the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha is very apparent, just maintained, right? However, when it comes to the Toma Tahara of Arias, I want you to pick up on this pattern. Wish I had a chumash in front of that. You'll look after it. You have to trust me to look afterwards. You'll see how the narrative of Shmini, when it deals with Toma Tahara in the Beis HaMikdash, it's broken into two. Parshas Achramos, when it comes to the Arayos, is picking up on the negative disciplinary aspects of Parshas Shmini. And Parshas Kedoshim is picking up on some of the positives, right? Like, for example, right? It says in Parshas Shmini, listen carefully, Al Tashaksu, Vinat Mesambon. Well, Parsha Sakramo says, Al T, right again, Al Tashaksu, that's not for Sechem Bechol Sharitz. Don't engage Al Bechol. Don't do any of these disgusting things. And that is the expression in the end of Akramos. Al Tatamu Bechol. Al Bechol. And in both cases, it has the same expression, Vinat Mesambon, right? Parsha Shmini is Al Tashaksu Bechol, Vinat Mesambon. Well, Parshas Achramos says, regarding the Arayos, Al Tatamu B'chol Eila, dot, 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 right? And it concludes. The lobes of Tanuba, right? Again, right? Out, Shmini says, Alta Shaksu, dot, dot, dot. And it's made some bomb, Akramos, Pasuk. Parakil has possible thought out of town with a halela dot dot dot, right? Just dropped it again, but you'll see it here in the pasuk, right? Time of what, right? Masha ain't in the parsha of Arayis in Kedosha. It uses several times the expression the hiskadishtam beisam Kedosha, which appeared at the end of Shemini, right? And it also uses the term in the parsha of Arayis in Kedosha, the hivdalta. Does something very interesting to you. The end of Parshas Kedosha and Parshas Arayis, the penal code in Kedosha concludes with the Hivdaltem Bein HaTmeo, Bein Behema HaTahor LaTmeo. It actually echoes of the expression back in the end of Parshas Shemini, when it says Lahavdil Bein HaTamiu Bein HaTahor Bein HaChaya Nachalas, right? It references it almost, this is an explicit cut and paste. It takes the pasuk separating between the pure and impure animals, and it reappears in the penal code in of Arayis and Kedosha, right? Which is a cut and paste by design we've explained in the past to reflect how the ritual purity and impurity as introduced by the pure and the impure animals is achieved in a relational sense, right? In the case of the Arayis, and hence in both cases it says we've got this Shabbos and Kedosha. The point I'm making, these textual patterns are very intricate. You'll see when you have a Chumash in front of you, right? There are very clear parallels of expression in Parsha Shemini, introducing the ritual purity and impurity as it governs Beis HaMikdash, and in Achramos Kedosha, respectively, when it introduces the Arayis and the discipline which it takes, the morality which it takes, to have intimate relationship. And the Torah is by design bifurcating, right? It's picking up on some of the more Tumah, Tahara, it's picking up on some of the more disciplinary expressions which appear in the Tumah Taharah vis-a-vis Beis HaMikdash, and using that as the first stage of relationship in Achramos, and then it's picking up on some of the more Viskadishtam Beisim Kedoshim Kedushitic expressions, and the expressions Lahavdil, Havdala, which as we said before is when morality has become a lifestyle, Pravaprusham and Harayas. It's not simply one of acts, specific acts of do and don't do, but a sanctified lifestyle, right? The correlations are very clear here. The need for discipline, for kirva to be achieved, and at the same time, the notion that one, when one does not have a Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, when the kirva is not so apparent of us, right? There might be two steps here. Sometimes one just has to engage in the discipline when it's very, 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 very hard. And you have the Tumah Taharah, you have the regulation without the rewarding condition. So, right? That too, I believe, is reflected in the text in the way Parshas Achramos and Kedoshim respectively bifurcate the psukim of Shemini in their cuts and pastes. Sof dovar hakol nishma, may we all be judged both in our relationships to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in our very meaningful human relationships to learn this art of connection, rewarding intimacy through discipline. Amen.